Amen. Praise God. It is so good to see each and every one of you this morning. It is good to be here with my snot face and everything. Like, I don't know about you, but with all this allergy stuff has been going all crazy. But praise God that we can be together in the house of the Lord, that we can even be connecting online, that we can be connected to God's Word, and that we can worship Him together. Amen. It is a good day to be in the presence of the Lord. Today we are going to have our last part in the series that we've been going through on Stronger Together. And when I was in high school, when I was a freshman in high school, actually, there was this girl in my science class, all right? And it's all right. It's okay. You can laugh. It's okay. I kind of assumed I had that much chance with her too, and but it was interesting, right? Because like I believed in Jesus and everything, and I hadn't at this point in high school I had not really like gone like all the way with Jesus, but I'm worshiping every Sunday and everything, you know, and so you know I'm trying to find somebody else who's, you know, who's into Jesus as well, right? And this particular girl, I felt pretty confident about because she had long hair and she wore long dresses. And so I thought, well, I don't know what kind of Jesus follower she is, but there's a good chance that we're in the same ballpark, right? And so, and she was nice and everything too, I guess. But what was interesting was, like, by the time, like, I actually got around to finding some courage to actually talk to this girl, she ended up starting to hang out with this other guy. And now what got me about this other guy was, like, let's just say they probably didn't go to worship together, all right? Like, he was one that was kind of known for being into all kinds of different stuff, right? He was a little rough. Let's just say it that way. He was a little rough, and to see these two together, you just kind of—I don't know if you've done this with people or not before—but you just kind of look at them and you're just like, "Really? Like the two of you? Like really?" And it just kind of made me wonder, probably a little selfishly, but even just in general, right? Like, what is she doing with him? Right? As my wife walks into the room right now, it's probably good that I mention as well, she actually doesn't like when I say this, but I actually, since we've been dating, I kind of feel like the guy that everybody's looking at, like, what is she doing with him, right? She doesn't like me to say that, though, because then it makes her, apparently her judgment is bad or something like that, right? So it's actually kind of a knock on her if something's wrong with me. But maybe you've done that before, right? Like, you look at somebody, or you look at, like, a couple, or, you know, people are hanging out or whatever like that, and you're just like, what is he doing with them, or what is she doing with him, or you know, what is, like, these two things don't really fit here. Like, what in the world happened that happened, right? And it just makes me wonder if this isn't what people thought when they saw Jesus and his disciples as well, right? Like, here's Jesus. I mean, he's Jesus, right? And he's healing people and raising people from the dead, and he's feeding a bajillion people with a couple of crumbs and all this kind of stuff, right? And then these disciples, what is he doing with them, right? Like, Jesus, you don't have better people you can hang out with? Like, seriously? Like, why does Jesus even need disciples? Like think about this for a second. Like, why does, and I don't, I'm trying not to preach my sermon before I preach my sermon, but if you think about, like, why in the world is, like, why is Jesus going about doing things the way that he is? Like, isn't Jesus strong enough on his own? Like, why does he need to be together with these disciples? Why does he need to be reaching out to these other people? Like, why is that such a thing for him? Like he's God in the flesh. Like, how much stronger is he going to be together with them, right? Yeah. Well, today what we're going to look into is how we can be stronger together in the same way that Jesus was with his disciples. And people might look at us and think, I don't really see how that all goes together. But I hope by the end of all of this today, we see that we truly are stronger together when we come alongside the mission of Jesus. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this place and in this time. And Lord, I thank you for your word. Amen. We ask, God, that you would speak into our lives even now. God, help us to hear your voice. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone today, Father. That your message would be proclaimed here in this place, and that you would be glorified not only in our hearing, but in doing your word. Have your way even now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's start in, we're gonna kind of hit a few different verses here, but let's just start in Matthew chapter 4. All right, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And so again, real simple line here. What I want to do is I want to go through about three or four different things that Jesus said or did that just kind of make me scratch my head. Like why would Jesus do that? Like, what was the purpose for what he's getting at here, right? The first one here is a real simple one out of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. I could have picked several different verses here, but this is just one that I pulled out of Matthew. This is the first time that Jesus uses this phrase in the book of Matthew, and he's actually speaking to Peter here. But again, he says this to several of his disciples, the same sort of terminology here, and he says, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Now, this very first phrase here, just come follow me. Like, why would Jesus even have to ask people to follow him? Like, wouldn't people just be following him anyway? Like you get out there, like, I'm just telling you right now, if you're going to feed me when I'm hungry, I'll follow you wherever you need me to go, right? Like, if you're going to heal me when I'm sick, like, I'm going to be real close to you, right? If you're going to raise up my family member that I love so much, like, I'm going to be right there with you. Like, why in the world would Jesus even need to say to anybody, come follow me? Like, doesn't he have people following already? Like, it's kind of like, again, maybe I should try to veer away from some of these high school analogies here, because it may just bring up some very bad memories that I'd rather not have to get into and do group counseling here with all of you. But it's kind of like I don't know if you had this guy in that you went to high school with or not, but it's kind of like the guy in high school that had the girl that was like in love with them. But he didn't want her, he wanted that other girl, right? Right? It almost sort of feels like some of that with Jesus here. Like, Jesus has a ton of people who are following him. Why is he focusing on these 12, particularly those 12, right? I mean, it'd be one thing if these were like the elite of the elite in Jesus' day, but that's not even the case. Like, these are just some bumbling fishermen and a couple of tax collectors and that kind of stuff. And what? Why would he go to them and say, come follow me? In fact, for that matter, why would he even want people to follow him at all, right? I mean, just in reading about the disciples, they're kind of annoying to me, right? And I'm not spending every waking moment of my life with them for 3 years, right? I can't imagine how frustrating it must have been for Jesus to have to say over and over again what he had just said before, right? I can't imagine how hard it would be to have to look them in the eye and say, oh, you of little faith, right? I don't know how annoying it must have been to have the disciples around, but for whatever reason, Jesus chose to say to them, come follow me. See, I think, and as we go through some of these others here, I think we'll begin to see even more that as Jesus was calling people to him, like, obviously Jesus isn't going to be stronger himself. He is God, after all. However, Jesus is on a mission, right? Jesus is on a mission, and he's very focused on the mission. He's focused on accomplishing that mission, and he recognizes that the mission that he has been sent to accomplish is not going to end with the cross, but rather it is going to continue on. And so if this thing is going to continue on, it has to be able to go beyond the cross. And so if the mission of Jesus is going to be accomplished through the life of Jesus, then he's got to begin to raise up some people that are going to be able to run with this mission even when he is not physically on this earth.
That's right. Amen.
And so he recognized that even though these 12 may not be who we might pick, they're different than the crowds.
Yes.
And he poured into them differently than he did the crowds. And as he poured into them, they all became stronger together.
Amen.
Because they all became stronger in the mission together.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
See, like, Jesus wasn't getting any stronger himself. Like, he had everything that he needed right there. But as the disciples are more and more on board, as they not only hear Jesus say, "Follow me," but actually follow him, as they take the steps to walk with Jesus, they become stronger together, which means the mission becomes stronger together, which means that even when Jesus is not physically here, the mission is able to carry on.
Amen.
Because the mission is stronger together.
Praise his name.
Let me keep going here. In John chapter 14, John 14 and verse 12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these." I'm actually going to stop there on this verse right now. "They will do even greater things than these." Why? Why in the world would Jesus say that? Like, wouldn't that kind of seem to diminish the value of what Jesus was doing? Like, wouldn't that kind of diminish the value of him as Savior? Like, if the disciples are going to do greater things than what Jesus is doing, doesn't that almost kind of make him look like he's second fiddle? Right? Why would Jesus say that? Yet we recognize here that Jesus is thinking well beyond just this day that he is living in. Jesus is thinking well beyond the time where he will be physically on this earth, but rather what he is doing is he is casting some vision for his
Amen.
Disciples.
He's
helping them to see that the life that they are living right now is not the life that they're going to be living as they continue to walk with him. He's helping them to see that what they are doing, the common things that they were a part of when they entered into this following of Jesus, was not how life was going to continue, but rather that as they continue to walk with Jesus, as they continue to grow stronger together in the mission of Jesus, they were going to be together doing things that were grander and more impactful even than what they had seen Jesus do there.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that for a minute, right? Jesus said to them, "You will do even greater things than these." Church, it just makes me wonder how it is that we see ourselves too in regard to the mission that Christ has set us on.
Oh my,
right? We need to recognize that Jesus Christ, through his discipleship of disciples throughout the generations, Jesus Christ has now authorized us to be able to do even greater things than what we might even have read about in Scripture. And let me be very clear, we're not doing any of those on our own, but rather we are stronger together to live in the authority of Jesus Christ to be able to do even greater things than we've heard of before. Think about that. Think about that for yourself. Do you see yourself doing those greater things? Not just because you are great, not because you are so good or anything, but because Christ could do those things in and through you. Do you see that in yourself? See, what Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples here is that they're going to be like they were stronger together to be able to accomplish even greater things than they had already seen. How many times do we limit ourselves to what is possible based on what we've already seen in our lives? So if we haven't seen miracles performed, then we don't believe that miracles can be performed. If we haven't experienced healing ourselves, then we don't believe that healing can be experienced. If we haven't received salvation, then we don't believe that we can be saved. If we haven't experienced wholeness and overcoming of a brokenness in our lives, then we think that brokenness is all we have to live in. And I just want you to know right now, part of what Jesus is trying to show us here is that we are stronger together even than what we have been able to see before. You may not have experienced the grace of Jesus Christ in your life in a certain way quite yet, but I'm just letting you know that doesn't mean that the grace can't work in your life in that way. We are stronger together with Jesus to be able to do some things that we've never even seen happen before, but we've got to submit ourselves and follow Him in order to walk in that those blessings and that favor and the promises of Christ in His Word. Amen? We are stronger together. Jesus was proclaiming to His disciples that they were stronger together because he was kind of showing them that even beyond what they had seen with their own physical eyes, God was able to do more and greater than they had even seen. Then this last phrase here in John 14:12, He says, I'll just reread the whole thing. It says, "Very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Why? Like, think about this. Jesus changed the world with 3 years of ministry, right? From the age of 30 to the age of 33, He changed the world in 3 years of ministry. I've been here 5 years, by the way. I'm not Jesus. I ain't trying. You know, I am not the Savior of the world. I'm not trying to compare myself to Him or anything. I'm just saying He's had a bit more impact than I've had on the world thus far, right? Could you imagine with me for a moment if Jesus just kept on in His ministry? Not that He never dies for us, but what if Jesus kept on in His ministry for, I don't know, 30 years instead of 3? What if he died when He was 63 instead of 33? How many more people would have been healed? How many more people would have been forgiven? How many more people would have been raised from the dead? How many more people would have been restored? How many more people would have heard the good news? How many more disciples would have been made? How many, you see what I'm saying here? Like Jesus, you got a pretty good thing going here. Like, you took these 12 bumbling idiots and you, like, made something out of them. And now, like, why? Don't stop now. Like, you can go to the Father eventually, but can you just hold on just a minute and just stick around here? Why has He got to go to the Father? Why can't He just stick around and do some more ministry? Things seem to be going pretty well. We know that part of the mission of Jesus was to die for our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice that had to go to the cross in order that we might be set free from sin and death. And what we also recognize is that part of what makes a disciple is being sent as a disciple.
Amen.
See, think about it.
Yes.
If Jesus was still around, would we really hear much of anything about Peter anymore? Right? Would we have heard much about Paul? Maybe, as sort of a side note to what Jesus was still doing, right?
Yes.
And would the disciples, would they have gone to the depths of faith in which they did had Jesus still been around? I don't know. These are all just questions in my sanctified imagination here, if you will, right? But I think it's important for disciples to be sent. For example, for all of us who even now are seeking to be disciples that make disciples, right? For those that I've been investing in and talking to and praying with and sharing with and all these kinds of things. Like if there's not a moment where there is a sending out, then there's always that idea that, I gotta go back to Pastor Tim. Right? If you're always the disciple and I'm always the disciple maker, then your eyes are always going to be looking back to me for approval and encouragement and motivation and all those kinds of things. But as soon as I send you out, now you realize, okay, it's me and the Lord out here. And we can do this. You can do this. See, we are stronger together even as we are being sent out. Well, I hope you get that today. I hope you didn't just let that go right by, see? Because I'm going to say it again, just in case. We are stronger together even when we are being sent out. Now, this is going to be kind of weird to think about and kind of hard to believe, but for the disciples, it was probably better for the disciples. Let me say that differently. I can't believe I just said probably. For the disciples, it was better that Jesus left this world, right? So that they could then carry on the mission that God had given them to carry out. Oh man, I hope you're getting this today. Because when Jesus went to the Father, He sent the Holy Spirit as our guide, right? Right? And so if the Son didn't go, the Spirit couldn't come. And so the Spirit is here. And so the Spirit was able to work in the disciples then to accomplish the mission that Jesus had given them to accomplish. If the Son hadn't gone, then would they have even looked to accomplish that mission? Would they have had the Holy Spirit to fill them and to lead them and everything? Like, we need to recognize as well that as disciples, our goal is not just to get closer to Jesus, although please hear me carefully. That is important, all right? You didn't hear your pastor say, don't get close to Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that even Jesus kicked the baby birds out of the nest. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sydney. I appreciate that. Amen. And you might look at that and you might think, oh, well, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, you don't have to know how you feel about it. You just need to recognize this is exactly what Jesus did with his disciples. Like, you want to talk about like culture shock and just like brain crazy, these disciples here. When Jesus died, their whole world was wrecked. They did not understand what was going on. They didn't understand why this would be happening. Yet, when Jesus rose from the dead and they recognized and Jesus sent them out, like, oh, like, I get it now. Like, this is what I have to do. This is where I have to. I can't just ride on his coattails anymore. No, I've got to be a disciple maker too. Which then brings me back to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. This is scripture that we've focused on a lot over the last couple of years. Verses 19 and 20 say, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I guess, again, my question here is, like, why did Jesus have to say this to them, right? He didn't say this to Paul. He knocked Paul down in a vision. Said, stop persecuting me, right? Made the guy have to get up and walk blind to the next town over before he was healed and began to do the ministry that God had for him. Like, couldn't God just do that? Like, why did Jesus have to send out the disciples like this? What we need to recognize is that we are absolutely stronger together when we are in Christ. Amen. But we are even stronger together when we are receiving the instruction to be sent out. I hope you hear that today. I hope, we are strong when we come together. And I praise God for opportunities where we can worship together. I praise God for opportunities where we can hear from Him and where we can worship His name. Like, I praise God for everything that is happening here. But recognize as well that we are never more strong in the mission that Jesus has for us than when we are sent out in Christ, accomplishing the mission He is sending us to do. We are stronger together when we are all strong in ourselves in the mission of Christ. We are stronger together when we are strong in being disciples that make disciples. Yeah. We're stronger together when we're on mission together. Yes. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And I really want to challenge you with this today. This is... As we have been talking over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about how we can be stronger as we are physically with each other, particularly as we've come back from all the COVID stuff and all that, those kinds of things, right? But we need to recognize that our strength is not found in each other. No. We can be stronger as we are together, but our strength is not found in each other. Rather, our strength is found in Christ, and our strength is found in the mission of Christ. As we are doing what Jesus has told us to do, we will never be, the church will never be stronger than when we are going out to be disciples that make disciples. We'll never be stronger than when we begin having some conversations, spiritual conversations with people that are far from God right now. We'll never be stronger than when we're actually leading people from that first prayer of salvation on to being disciple makers themselves. We'll never be stronger than when we actually walk alongside people and help them to process God's word. We'll never be stronger than when we're being sent out in the mission of Jesus. But this isn't just something that I do, and it's not just something that the elders do. It's something that we all do. See, we're all stronger together when we're on mission together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you so much for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your mission. We thank you for Jesus who accomplished his mission and is still with us even now. Amen. Lord, I pray that even in this time, that you would help us to say yes to you and to your mission. Lord, overcome every aspect of fear that we may be dealing with. And help us, Lord, to say yes to you, not only now, but even in the days to come, as you give us opportunity to disciple others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.